Welcome back to the Rodcast, a Smooth Soul Monday edition of the Rodcast. That's when Patrick, the Idealionaire, my co-host, comes up with all the musically themed days of the week. But his intention for a Smooth Soul Monday is to make sure your transition from the stress-free, relaxing, fun-filled weekend, especially the holiday weekend, hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend, to make that transition to the very stressful and hectic work week packed with traffic and meetings. And you know you'll have extra meetings because you had a short work week last week. So to make up for all the work that you missed, you're going to have extra meetings. So you probably got to go in early and stay late. And he wants to make that transition as smooth as possible for you because we know it's going to slap you in the face. That's the purpose of a Smooth Soul Monday. So we appreciate Patrick hooking us up with a Smooth Soul Monday. He also hooks us up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day. And it's already posted up there for you at the Horn ATX in the Twitterverse. On the X, I don't even know how to say it. The X platform, on the X app. It just sounds weird. It still doesn't flow. Elon. Nope. It still doesn't flow, and I still don't know why you changed it. But, hey, man, you own it. You can call it whatever the hell you want to. So on the X platform, you can go check it out, the Big Fat Poll of the Day. Patrick, let the people know what the topic is for the Big Fat Poll of the Day.
Big Fat Poll of the Day. Which big free agent signing will make it further in the playoffs next year? Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, Paul George, DeMar DeRozan, all signings. Klay Thompson currently in the lead on the poll online. With 56% of the vote. People say the Mavs going back. The Mavs will achieve again after a good season this year. I mean, the Mavs went the furthest this season, so you can believe he's got added. They will go back to that. Paul George second in the Eastern Conference, a little bit easier. No love for DeMar DeRozan and the Kings. No love for the Kings there.
Yeah, because they were supposed to be one of these teams. We talk about these teams in the West now, how all this new blood that's ascending with, you know, the Timberwolves and now Oklahoma City's back, and they got a young, good young nucleus. And, you know, all these other teams, and hell, now the Mavs are now back with a new – it seems like there's a lot of new blood. And they were supposed to be one of those teams, and they had it for like 1 year, and then for some reason it just dissipated. Everyone was hype about them, too.
Yeah, they went up, and then it just didn't seem to click last season the same way. They had some struggles at the end of last season as well, where they just weren't playing as well as they had been before. Didn't have a great matchup in the first round. So, you know, you just those types of things happen. If you're, you know, you fizzle out at the end, you hope to add in another veteran and another big scorer to help you out in those situations with DeMar DeRozan. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see which one. But no love. He is kind of... currently coming in fourth.
Yeah, you're right about that. CP3 coming in. Yeah, that's third. Right now, Klay Thompson. Because you saw what the Mavs did, and a lot of people believe, hey, man, Klay Thompson, he's got something to prove, too. This is a Klay Thompson that could have chosen the Lakers, as we talked about. Even his own dad admitted he thought he was going to choose the Lakers, wanted him to choose the Lakers. LeBron had his pitch. LeBron, a pretty good salesman. So I'm sure that was a damn good pitch about – hey, it's Hollywood, baby. Don't you want to come be an A-list celebrity with us? No, Klay Thompson chose the Mavs because he's trying to prove something. I think he still wants to add to his own legacy. So you're getting a hungry, Klay Thompson with a chip on his shoulder. Hopefully that's a really, really good thing. So a lot of people are choosing Klay Thompson. He's leading right now this vote. 58% of it, of these respondents to the poll, believe that he's going to be the free agent signing and the Mavs will go the furthest because of his addition. That West is tough, though. Man, we didn't even talk about the Suns because they're in the fire sale kind of mode. But there's so many good teams in the West, you forget about teams with stars on them because there's just so many good young teams now in the West. It's just, it's loaded. So that's the only, like you brought it up, that's the only thing working against the Mavs is, man, it's just, the coming out of the West is a really Herculean task year after year.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about OKC, Denver, Minnesota, I mean, that's three really, really good teams the Mavs are going to have to contend with.
That's the top of it.
Yeah, and that's just three teams.
That's not the middle class.
Yeah, that's not what you're talking about, where you kind of thought Dallas was going to be in that next group. But then the Clippers are still going to be there with Kawhi and James Harden. You talk about the Kings now being in that conversation. The Rockets and the Spurs are trying to get in that conversation. The Lakers and the Warriors are trying to stay in that conversation.
The Lakers, yeah. Man, like I said, man, that West. Who's the worst team in the West?
I mean, it was the Spurs were up there last year. They so should the be better.
What I'm talking about right now, looking at it, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be hard to determine like who's the worst team in the West after
Portland was
the latest
Portland
makeover.
And don't forget Memphis.
Portland will be again.
But Portland, John Morant got hurt last season. John Morant comes back this season and plays a full season. That puts Memphis back in that picture.
Yeah, we forgot about Memphis.
Because they were just so bad last season because John Morant was suspended and then hurt.
Yeah.
But John Morant stayed out of the news now for almost a year.
He'll be back, yeah.
So he'll be coming back. So what he does, you know, what Utah does, depending on what they do with Lauri Markkanen, do they try and progress further? Or do they fall behind because they get rid of Markkanen and they say they're not going to be there yet? New Orleans just got DeJounte Murray. So they just added DeJounte Murray. They may make a move with Brandon Ingram. But I'll add you in another piece.
Wow.
I mean, that West just got a lot of good teams.
It's good. That's like I said, it's really arrogant to say the Mavs would just make it back again because Klay Thompson is a nice addition. But, man, you just brought up three or four teams. Forgot all about Ja Morant in Memphis. And, hell, if Ja ever gets focused and doesn't get distracted, hell, man, that dude's easily considered to be one of the top four or five best players in the West.
Yeah. I mean, you put him back if he's – and now you also have to say after injury, after injury, after injury, is he going to be the same explosive player? Can he stay on the court? But you add that in. They added Marcus Smart. He had the injuries last year as well. Jaren Jackson Jr. wasn't as good, but he'll be back into playing the form with other guys on the team. And then they have the giant wild card in the draft, which is two-time college player of the year Zach Edey got drafted to Memphis.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think he's going
to
be a good player?
No, but I don't think he'll be able to go back and up and down the court. I think he'll be a decent player. I don't think he's going to be bad, but I also don't think he can stay long-term on the court.
He's going to be a game-changing
player. Yeah, I just don't think in today's NBA, you know, he can go back. But, you know, guys have been proving you wrong before. If he gets a bigger shot, you know, he has really good stamina. So there's a chance he could find a way to stay on the court. He's just got to be able to run a lot. And that's not the same case in college that you have to do in the NBA. But you add him in. He's a giant. He's one of those ones. He's a wild card. So you just don't know that that's a guy that could help progress you. So, yeah, there's just a lot of good teams in the Western Conference, which is where you say Paul George then. And you look at who are the teams we're talking about. They're all Western Conference teams that added people, that all reloaded. Everybody in the East, you know, you could say the Knicks got Mikal Bridges, so they're going after Boston. The 76ers get Paul George. Then everybody else.
Three teams. It kind of seems like it's three teams in the East, pretty much. Boston, Philadelphia, and New York right now. And I guess you got to throw Indiana.
Yeah, Miami tries to fight. Cleveland just got their new coach. They have a pretty good team. Milwaukee still got Giannis. So they'll be fighting with David Giannis.
Milwaukee. If they stay healthy, you're right. Milwaukee's
but Orlando wanted to make a splash and try and get better, but they didn't really. So they'll be okay, but they're not in that next level of team.
Yeah, so it should be Paul George, but, man, it's Boston's just that good, and maybe Philly needs another piece.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. Who do you think, which one of those free agent signings do you think will take their team further in the playoffs next season? Chris Paul, Klay Thompson, Paul George, DeMar DeRozan. All right. Speaking of NBA, we'll come back and discuss NBA because the Spurs made a really good, I thought it was a really good move over the holiday break. So we'll discuss that with our resident Spurs fan. But first, let's get into the Horn headlines and get educated. Let's get updated and informed on all the top stories of the day with Patrick Davis and the Horn headlines.
All right, your Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the NBA, the Sacramento Kings acquired free agent DeMar DeRozan in a three-year, $74 million sign-and-trade deal. The Kings are trading Harrison Barnes in an unprotected 2031 pick swap to the Spurs and Chris Duarte in two second-round picks to the Bulls to complete the deal. DeRozan, a six-time All-Star who will turn 35 next month, is coming off an impressive three-year scoring run with the Bulls, where he averaged 24 points per game last season. In the MLB, the Astros dropped their series to the Twins 2-1 after a Christian Vasquez walk-off home run on Sunday. The Astros are now 2 games back of Seattle for the lead in the AL West, with 2 more series to go before the All-Star break. Ronyel Blanco will get the start for Houston when they return to action against the Marlins on Tuesday. And the Rangers swept the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend, including a dominant 13-2 win on Sunday. Corey Seager and Travis Jankowski both added at 4 RBIs each, while Nathan Eovaldi pitched another solid start, going 7 innings, only allowing 2 runs. The Rangers begin a series with the Angels tonight, hoping to continue their winning momentum with John Gray taking the mound. And that is your Horn Headlines.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Grass is growing and yards need mowing. We got deep discounts on Gravely, Toro, Hustler, and Steel zero-turn mowers this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right. Thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. And, yes, a part of that DeMar DeRozan deal, the Spurs get Harrison Barnes as a part of that deal. Spurs now with Harrison Barnes, 12-year pro, average like around 14 points per game for his career. He's 32 now, but played in every game last season, shot around 38-39% from three. I think he's got 2 years left on his deal. He's a guy that projects to be a guy as a starter for the Spurs, Patrick, but I guess he could also come off the bench if necessary. But CP3 and now Harrison Barnes with guys like Devin Vassell and Jeremy Sochan with Victor Wembanyama, looks like the Spurs, even though they're not necessarily, you know, I think ready for the Wemby window, they definitely want to be more competitive. That's clear. They're not the tanking. I think part of the rebuild is done for them. Yeah. Now they want to start trending the other way.
Yeah, and again, last year I don't think they were really trying to tank last year as much as they were more, you know, trying to make sure Wemby didn't get injured. They really were playing it very safe with Wemby. They made a mistake, we can say, of trying to the Sochan experiment at point forward. They tried to run that because they just didn't feel they had the point guard. There's not a lot of point guards out there. So they tried that last year. It did not work. What do they end up doing this offseason? Say, let's go get the old man and 39-year-old Chris Paul and bring him in, and we'll get a real guard, and then we'll draft a point guard in Stephen Castle that we can have a guy going forward. But we're going to try and make waves and bring some guys in because we're aware that it's a problem that we have right now. Is the point guard position. So that cost them some games early. They were a much better team down the stretch, but they just didn't have a ton of players. But I think you hit it on the head. They're trying now to bring in some veterans, trying to take that gap and really be closer to where Houston was last year, which is you want to be right in that play-in conversation. We just talked about it. The West is stacked. There's a lot of really good teams. So injuries matter depending on who can stay healthy. How you play down the stretch, but I think for the Spurs, you're trying to put yourself in a position to see if you can get a little playoff experience. If you can get in and, you know, play in a playoff series as opposed to just a playing game, that gives you even more experience. Let's Wemby see a little bit more of what it is, because you're just trying to progress and get through. But also, you get Harrison Barnes in with the 2 years left on his contract. The contract isn't great. I think it's $20 million in his second year. Left is so it's not a contract where you say you're getting him for $10 million or whatever it is that would be a steal, but also in today's NBA with what guys are getting paid, it's not terrible. His numbers dipped a little last year, but that was more in the fact that the Kings had drafted Keegan Murray, and they're trying to progress him to be your starting small forward. So Harrison Barnes took more of a bench role. I think when he goes to the Spurs, Harrison Barnes is going to end up being a starter in the role where they had Julius Champagne in last year and had Keldon Johnson coming off the bench. Now, this is all, keep in mind, all this could change because trades can still happen.
Yeah, it's a good point.
But the thought would be right now with this lineup, you start Harrison Barnes, he can come in, give you some stability, and then you bring that Keldon Johnson energy off the bench. You know, there's no one better selling bringing you off the bench than Pop, who says, do you want me to show you the Hall of Fame video of Manu going in? Trust me.
Nice.
We get it. We know what he can do. He played me plenty of money. He made it to the Hall of Fame trusting what we were doing. So I think that's what you'll see the Spurs try and put together this season. But they're still in the Lauri Markkanen conversations. Until that deal gets done or doesn't get done, there's a bunch of teams talking to the Jazz right now. I know that the conversations around that, the main rumor has been that the Jazz are, you know, Danny Ainge drives a hard bargain. We know that. That's one of the reasons why the Celtics are built so well right now, is because Danny Ainge was running that team for a long time and set them up for success. And so the rumor is he wants Devin Vassell, which is clearly the second best player on the Spurs right now. They don't want to give up Vassell in that deal. I think they'd rather put a Keldon Johnson in there than a Devin Vassell, but they may be Sohan in that deal. There's, you know, to all of those talks, they're trying to figure it out. The Jazz, of course, want every player on the Spurs and all their picks to get one guy. So you're trying to find that middle ground. That is a question whether the Warriors try and give up more. The Warriors don't have as much to give up as the Spurs do, so the Spurs could get him if they really wanted to, but how much do you want to leverage your future to bring in one guy, and then you're going to have to pay him. So that contract is going to be expensive as well. All those pieces coming together, but as of right now, you can look at a lineup that you don't feel that there's a massive hole in your starting lineup anymore. You feel like you have some good players on the bench and a rookie in Stephen Castle. You have Keldon Johnson coming off that bench. So that gives you at least seven deep that you feel you can play pretty confidently. You want to go to 8-9 deep for this roster probably. And you have a couple more guys that'll be on this roster that'll be okay. But I'd say you're seven deep right now if you're the Spurs. And last season you were probably four deep, maybe five deep. So yeah. It's a big step forward for the Spurs team. And they add more picks that are down the line that a team like the Spurs is just able to keep adding these picks that, you know, you laugh because these guys are, what, eighth graders that they're talking about? You're talking about seventh, eighth Seriously. Graders?
Yeah, you're right. 2031, 2032, whatever.
Yeah, you're talking about seventh, eighth graders is what they're looking at.
Yeah.
But at the reality of it, this is a franchise that has shown that you can do this, and it gives them options to make those trades either this year or in a couple years. You can trade those picks off. They're going to gain value because they're unprotected. So they'll only gain value as it gets closer. And now GMs that want to get somebody to help build their team, those players will become available. Those picks will become more and more valuable when you start to see who those picks could be, when you start to see where your team is building to. Those picks become more valuable. And then if you're the Spurs, you can keep one or two of them. And they become players when you're in a window with Wimby that's 5-6 years in his career. You're already paying him that second contract. He's making a lot of money. You don't really have cap room anymore to be going out and trying to add more pieces. And as you have to let go of some of your guys, you're able to place them in the draft. That's what the theory is that the Spurs are trying to build, that long-term building to try and put something together that you have an actual plan where you don't get stuck where these teams get stuck. That they have a superstar, and you make your run, and then you're spent. You have nothing else to give, and then you have to figure it out.
No, that's a good point because you can look at, and we talked about this already, the pick swaps are a big thing. If you go look at the next seven drafts, the NBA has there are 20 first-round picks that are basically owed via pick swaps over the next seven drafts. And nine of those are controlled by the Spurs and the Thunder. And I believe the Spurs control like six of those nine. And they're spaced out, right? In 2026, 2028, two in 2030. They got one in 2031. And I believe they just got one in 2032 based on this latest deal.
I think this was 2031. I think this was 2031.
Okay, well, Adrian Wojnarowski must have messed it up because he said 2032.
And it could be. I mean, those.
So maybe that's the one they were talking about. But either way, they're spaced out. And maybe that's kind of because the Spurs are giving themselves flexibility for the Wimby window, whenever that is. And I don't know if anybody knows it or they know it, but they'll definitely have flexibility about how to build around them with all those pick swaps in the future. And the pick swap thing, it's definitely a loophole that the Spurs have found, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. There's a couple of advantages to it. Number one, teams are willing to, trade unprotected, or basically are willing to be more open to trading unprotected picks when they're swaps as opposed to outright trades. They're also they're not subject to what we brought up at the Stepien rule, which means that teams can't just mortgage the future. You can't trade back-to-back first-round picks. You have to have at least 1 year in there. So that's why usually when their picks traded, they stagger it. They go every other year because you can't go consecutive seasons without a first-round pick in the NBA. But pick swaps are not subject to that rule. And also, basically, it allows you, what the Spurs are doing, to exercise and execute your own window. It allows you to be more flexible with your window. Spurs are they're executing more pick swaps than anybody else in the NBA. So that's definitely got to be advantages to it because they're one of the best run and most forward-thinking progressive teams in the NBA.
Yeah, and I mean, it's that difference of, do you want 2 second-round picks or do you want – you know, a heavily protected first-round pick, or do you want an unprotected pick swap, which could end up being nothing? It could end up being nothing, but you're playing your betting odds that this team will be worse than you are in 6 years and that you'll be able to use that pick and move yourself up. That's what they've been trying to build on. The Stepien rule is because a owner once for the Cavs ruined the Cavs for years because he basically traded a decade's worth of picks. So you have to have a first-round pick, and you can't have no picks in consecutive years because owners would and GMs would. They would do it now and have no reservations about it and then come back and complain at the end of the day. So that's why that rule is in place. But the pick swap, you still get that first-round pick. You still get it. And technically a pick swap, if one pick is 5 and the other pick is 6, you move up a pick. But the other guys still get a decent pick in it. Normally they end up being, you drop down to 28 or 30 and it kind of takes away the value of the pick for you. But for what guys want to do, and these GMs now, they understand they're not going to be there in 5-6 years, especially if they don't win. So most general managers and most ownerships want to be in win now mode. And, you can rebuild, but you got to rebuild within that 3 to 4 year frame. And so you better click it on and go. And the Spurs are okay with building conservatively for a long run and trying to set themselves up in a window to win.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And yeah, they're doing a great job because at least if you're a Spurs fan, you know your team's going to be more competitive. But when they look at the development of Wemby, and if it's accelerated or what kind of path he's on, trajectory he's on, and then look at the West too. Because that we just talked about competitiveness. That's also part of your calculation in your window.
Yep.
Like, whoa, who's dominating the rest right now, and how old is that core and that nucleus? And then you can start building around Wemby. So, the Spurs are in a really, really good place, and I love that move.
And this is a great chance for the Spurs to, you experimented with a lot of young guys last year. You experiment now with some veterans and see, okay, how does Harrison Barnes play? Does he – his numbers dropped the last year, but does he work well with the Wemby? Does his three-point percentage go up? Does he fall into a category of a guy who understands his role, understands what he's supposed to be, so he knows how to entry pass into Wemby? He works on his game to make the Spurs better and Wemby better because he knows that'll keep him on a team till he's 36, 37, more than scoring 25 points a game or scoring 20 a game. If he can make great passes and help the Spurs be a better contender, he'll play like Chris Paul's playing. Chris Paul's not his stats the last few years. It's what they know he can do for a team. So he has more incentive to be that player. And then, Chris Paul, you trying to expedite to see more potential what Wemby could be. But it gives you more options and more what to look around without having to leverage your future of signing a 4 or 5 year deal to bring somebody in that if it doesn't work out, you're in a long-term deal. They're, in 2 years, both Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes will most likely not be on this team. And you could be bringing in new guys still before that Wemby contract, before you're having to pay him and take up more of your cap space. So they're working on a plan right now, and I think they're doing well of bringing him in. I wouldn't be surprised to see at least one more move. Again, I say they're 7 deep right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get that to 8 deep, but they may lose some depth if they try and bring in a Lauri Markkanen and think, let's make our starting lineup really dominant and have a Twin Towers that can both shoot threes at a high clip.
Yeah. No, right now it's like I said, it's a really nice looking starting lineup that the Spurs have. If Harrison Barnes is gonna be in there, but if he's not a part of the starting lineup, still he'll be a really nice piece coming off the bench for the Spurs. All right, we come back. We'll get into. We don't talk a lot of recruiting on the show, but I think there's a recruiting story, a national one brewing that has affected Texas's recruiting. So we'll talk about Texas losing out on the recruitment of DeCorian Moore, the number one receiver in the country, who announced on July 5th. Fourth, that he was going to Oregon. There's a backstory to this, and I think a more of a macro NIL story potentially that could be brewing. Also, we'll talk about the win that Texas got on the recruiting trail. Cade Phillips, who's a defensive back out of H-Town. There's a trend also that we got to pay attention to that Texas is starting to adopt a different philosophy. When it comes to evaluating defensive backs, I like it, by the way. I'm being complimentary to this new philosophy that Longhorns have. So we'll dive into that, go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk some Texas football on the other side, right here on the broadcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Davis coming back on the horn.
And they were all asking themselves the same question: what is behind that curtain?
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into some Texas football conversation and go behind the burnt orange curtain. I want to talk about Texas's latest commitment. The young man, Cade Phillips, actually got a personal anecdote about that commitment for the Longhorns. So really excited for that young man. Congratulations to him. Corner defensive back out of the Houston area. I'll talk about why that's significant here in a second. Also, speaking of DBs, there is an NFL story related to a Texas defensive back that I want to get to as well. And we'll do that too. But first, over the holiday weekend, Longhorn fans were a bit heartbroken, I guess is the kind of the best way to say it, over a loss the Longhorns had on the recruiting trail. And I'll admit, I was a little surprised by this too. So the Longhorns were in on the recruitment of DeCorian Moore, who's the number one receiver in the country. He's from Texas. He's got family in Austin. Remember, he's the one that brought 11 family members to his official visit. And because of that, even myself, a lot of folks assumed, oh, man, he's definitely going to go to Texas. I believe a lot of the insiders had him trending toward Texas, and the thought was that he was going to end up, you know, committing to UT. Well, on July 4th, he committed to Oregon instead, and a lot of Longhorn fans were a little shocked by this surprise, and then they were upset because the Longhorns have taken a couple of L's, and I don't think it's anything to be freaked out or panicked about, but some Longhorn fans are. They've taken some L's on the recruiting trail as of late. Actually, two to Oregon, because they were in on the recruitment of a young man, Josiah Sharma, who's a defensive lineman from Texas. I don't think he's from Texas, actually, but he was being recruited by Texas, I should say, by Oregon, and he surprisingly also chose Oregon. A lot of people were surprised by that move. So Texas has taken a couple of losses in the recruiting trail, and there are some Longhorn fans out there that are starting to believe that the Longhorns aren't ponying up enough cash. One of the theories, they're not ponying up enough cash to get some of these big-time recruits because they're going big game hunting. Essentially, all around the country, they got a board now with the top players at every position, and they're going big game hunting instead of just getting the best players in the state or regional, and they're losing some of those. But by the way, Josiah Sharman is from California. I apologize, he's from Cali, but chose Oregon. And so they've lost out on some of these. Brandon Brown recently lost out on him. They lost out on Myron Charles to Florida State. They lost out on Kevin Wynn. He's a kid that went to Florida State, and he's from Georgia. So they're losing some recruiting battles. But DeCorian Moore, that really hurt because he brought his grandma to the damn recruiting visit. So everybody's saying, oh, grandma's in the recruiting visit. Sark was there, hugging on grandma. Oh, he's going to Texas, and he chose Oregon. So that's the micro, and we'll talk about that in a second. I'll tell you why I think Longhorn fans are so disappointed. Longhorns are winning more than their fair share in recruiting. They'll be fine. So I don't think Longhorn fans will freak out. But I saw Rick Neuheisel recruited me when he was at Colorado. I like Rick Neuheisel. And he actually had some interesting things to say about Oregon. He was on College Football SiriusXM, and he said he was at a recent coaches event, And he said, it's no secret Phil Knight is supplying Oregon unlimited NIL resources. Rick said Phil is 86, and he desperately wants to see a championship, so they're willing to pay whatever it takes. Now, I don't know what Phil Knight's worth today. I think it's $30 billion or whatever it is. All right, so if he wanted to be the, like, the sugar daddy and be the straight-up directive of – and the directive is just one booster and donor. A collective is a group of them. And if he wanted to be just the directive of Oregon NIL and single-handedly try to basically weaponize NIL to fund them to and finance them to a college football championship, he's got enough money to do it. I mean, $100 million, $200 million, $500 million, it won't break Phil Knight, but it could make Oregon football. And if he is at that point determined that he doesn't care that much about getting return on his investment, that he doesn't care that his that money may not make money for him, because most billionaires, you know, they're smart, so they want their money to make money. you don't really necessarily, that's not a guarantee you're going to get that type of return on NIL. But long-term investment, you win a national title, oh, yeah, you'll get that money back tenfold in, you know, brand expansion, brand awareness, free media, all those types of things. And it's, you know, kind of a down payment on the future of Oregon football. So you'll be able to recruit better on a bigger platform, all of that kind of stuff. So if he wants to do this, and it may cause a chain reaction if Oregon actually is successful with this blueprint. They're successful when he wins a national title. And basically the narrative is, oh, no, he's a billionaire, and he decided, yeah, I don't care. I'll spend $200 million if it'll bring us a national – $200, $300 million if it'll bring us a national title. There are not a lot of billionaires around the country, all right? They're very limited, and even fewer billionaires who are alumni of football programs who are capable of winning a national title, and probably even fewer, as Patrick mentioned earlier, that are willing to just spend money and not get any return necessarily on that investment, not a true monetary return on that investment. It'd be return in other ways. So that's just very few. But there are some. There are some. And he is one of them. So Texas losing out on DeCorian Moore, losing out on Josiah Sharma, losing out on some of these players, maybe because Phil Knight has decided, no, that we are at an unlimited, we have unlimited NIL budget at this point. We won't even put a cap on it. And hell, Texas might have a cap. It may be the largest cap in the country. They may have the largest, you know what I mean, other than maybe Oregon, who says their NIL is unlimited now. But Texas may have the largest NIL budget in the country, but it still probably has a cap on it.
Yeah.
And what they're saying essentially about Phil Knight is he's saying, no, there's no cap on ours. Come here. You'll get top dollar if you're one of the best players. And that is something that's different than the collectives and directives kind of mission statement around the country has been. We hadn't had a sugar daddy and a booster decide, I don't care about losing hundreds of millions of dollars. I just want a national title. Because that's crazy.
Yeah, we basically haven't.
If he's going that route, oh, it's going to be a game changer.
We haven't had the eccentric billionaire to say, well, I can't get buried with it, so might as well try and win a title.
And I don't like my kids that much, so I'm not going to leave them that much money.
Hey, we've seen that. We have seen this. We've seen this with many billionaires, especially in sports, of guys going really hard at the end, and you see their kids being like, you know, Dad, maybe you should sell the franchise. Maybe do this, and maybe we don't give out that $200 million contract, and maybe we don't do this. Maybe I don't want to get a job.
You're right.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about money, Dad. So quit spending your money, which turns into our money and my money after you're gone. No, I mean, he's got 30 something billion.
He could spend. He could spend.
And the kids are fine.
He could spend $30 billion on Oregon, and he would still be a billionaire, and his kids would be okay, because $1 billion is a lot of money.
Yes, you're right about that. No, it's like, but it's that old joke about Chris Rock. He always said, if Bill Gates had Oprah money, he'd try to kill himself. because the lifestyle you become accustomed to. Yes. It's different levels of billionaire.
There
but
is.
He's right. That is true. There are different levels of billionaire. Texas got some billionaires, but do they got billionaires like worth? Now they got some Phil Knight type billionaires, but are they that eccentric where they'd really go? No, I'll spend $300 million. To win national. I'll spend $305 million. They actually might. And I'm saying if this works for Oregon, I think there will be another billionaire representing a football program that decides to do the same thing. I guarantee. I'm not saying they're going to be successful either, because I'm not sure that's how you ultimately are going to win in the NIL transfer portal era. But it's an interesting approach, and not everybody can do it. Phil Knight. So that's what Rick knew. But I will say they have gotten in just the last week. They've gotten the number one wide receiver in the country, number four cornerback in the country, number three tight end, number five running back, number seven defensive lineman. And Texas has been in on, I think, three of those recruits and thought they were getting two of them. Not. By the way, for Texas fans, this is why you're disappointed, and it's okay. You're disappointed in losing these recruits and the sky's falling, because you have been riding this wave of positivity all off season, and it's almost euphoric at this point. You guys are high on positivity and positive momentum. Played in the college football playoff, damn near hell, was a couple of plays away from playing in a national title. All right, won the Big 12 title, had 11 guys drafted. Xavier Worthy sets the record at the combine for the 40-yard dash. Quinn Ewers is on the cover of the new video game that's coming back. Archie Manning balls out in a spring game, so the future looks bright. It was a lot of positive vibes, and I think the belief was that will naturally translate to more wins on the recruiting trail. And the truth is, it hasn't. It's just been exactly the same as it's always been. You're like, well, the brand is doing so much better than it has in previous years, we should be doing better in recruiting than we have in previous years. And I'm not saying I don't agree with that, but we all agree it's not translating as of yet. It's pretty much just been the same as it has been. And I think that's the disappointment. You expected that wave to also end up in a tidal wave of recruiting momentum. It just hasn't happened. And Will it happen? I don't know. I know the game has changed, though, because Texas is going after national big-time recruits, big game hunting, and that's why you're going to strike out more, because you just don't have – and by the way, some of these guys – think about these guys who have been recruited now. They're 18 years old, right? 18, 17, 17 years old, 18 years old. When Texas was good last year, but as they were growing up, Texas wasn't good. Texas wasn't good when they were like 12, and when they were at their most impressionable age, Texas wasn't good.
Texas wasn't good.
05, you didn't go back to 05? These kids don't remember 05.
I will tell you something that is actually going to be helpful to Texas long term, or at least for people coming out in the next 4 or 5 years, is that Texas is good when ESPN 25 college football or NCAA 25 college football comes out. The fact that when they're going to play video games, these kids all play it, and Texas is going to have one of the better rosters, and so people will play as Texas in there. That will continue to help that, I always play as Texas in my game, so I put my creative character was on Texas. So, I have a certain affinity in my brain, whether, it's real or not, that I like Texas. And I think that'll be a benefit to them. It'll be a benefit to, Oregon and Michigan. A lot of teams, it'll help them grow, but you're lucky you're not bad now, because you want to be one of those teams that people want to jump in on and use in dynasty modes and use to play against their friends and go, no, I'll just always be Texas because I know they got their players.
Nope, I agree with you 100%. And like I said, the last time Texas was good consistently was mid-2000s, after these kids, they were babies at the time or something like that, if possible. And even when Texas was good in 2018 and they were good last year, those were outliers. So they need to put together a consecutive stretch here, a stretch where Texas is good. And then I think you can look to that being changing the narrative and changing the perception of Texas for future generations. But, Texas right now, they haven't necessarily done it but 1 year. Let's see if they can put it together over a stretch here in the SEC. And I think that'll also give you that bump you're looking for in recruiting. Speaking of the bump recruiting, they did get the commitment of Cade Phillips, who's a DB from the Houston area. I got a chance to actually coach this young man. Shout out to Anthony Williams, who gave me a chance to be a guest coach at one of his showcases. And Cade Phillips was actually one of the young men I got a chance to coach. So I like his skill set. I mean, he's long, rangy, explosive, hip explosion. I mean, a guy that can really get in and out of his breaks. Also, really great angles to the football. From the safety position, I think he can play corner and safety. Kind of gets me to what I'm talking about. That's what Texas is recruiting now. They're recruiting things they can't coach. They can't coach speed. This guy runs 21.5 in the 200. They can't coach coverage. I've been telling you that for a while. That's something naturally. Guys know how to play sticky coverage or they don't. He can play coverage at cornerback or safety. And you can't coach versatility. And that's something that's programmed pretty early into the DNA of a player. And remember, that's kind of the buzzword when Sark's talking about some of these new DBs they're bringing in. He wants versatile DBs, DBs with versatility in their skill set. The last crop they brought in, position flex, versatility, those were the buzzwords that Sark kept talking about, kept mentioning when describing their skill set. And this young man also has the versatility, can play corner, play safety, even play nickel for you. It's going to give you more solutions to potential problems the offense could present to you when you have guys who can move around the chessboard, so you're not, you know, you're not so rigid on defense. It gives you flexibility with the rules that you have to have on defense when you got flexible, movable chess pieces around that you can move around the chessboard. So he's one of those guys. So Cade Phillips, congrats to the Longhorns. So they're getting some wins on the recruiting trail. You ain't gonna get everybody you want. It's like that old the song, right? You can't always get what you want. All right, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you might find you'll get what you need. So Texas will get what they need. You just not may not get every recruit what they want. So we'll get into that a little bit more as the week goes on, because I'm sure there'll be more recruiting news for the Longhorns. But coming up, we got off the record. There was a white party. Speaking of billionaires, there was a white party where NFL players and celebrities engaged in a beach football game. Two quarterbacks, Tom Brady and CJ Stroud. We'll tell you who won on the other side right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis and Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Davis coming back on the horn.
DD Mega Doo-Doo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get they bring the egg comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Want to get to this story. I got it from the New York Post. So there is an annual all-white party that's thrown by Michael Rubin. It's like a 4th of July tradition for him. And it invites all these different celebrities and Hollywood A-listers. They come out to enjoy his Hollywood. It's a beach party, so I think it's a 4th of July beach party. And it was actually in the Hamptons, and one of the main headlines coming out of this white party, and usually it's just stuff on social media, pictures and stuff like that, was that a football game broke out between a team quarterbacked by Tom Brady and another team quarterbacked by one C.J. Stroud. Shout out to C.J. Stroud for getting invited to the white party, man. It's pretty big time. As a Texans fan, I like the C.J. Stroud, you know, having enough clout to be invited to the Reuben White party. Tom Brady's team lost to C.J. Stroud's team. How about that? 5-4. I guess they were just playing touchdowns to points. The other players who were playing said Odell Beckham Jr. was in here. Micah Parsons was playing. DeMar Hamlin was playing apparently in the beach football game. Travis Scott, Michael Rubin himself, Quavo was also out there. So there you go. Michael Rubin and my man CJ Stroud get invited. I wonder how many NFL players actually were invited to it. And considering my man CJ Stroud's among the elite celebs of the league already.
I know that he, I think he's invited some young quarterbacks before that he thinks he wants to do more business with too.
Because he's a Fanatics like founder.
Yeah,
right?
So I think there's parts of it where he's like, okay, this guy's on the, all right, we got to get him, invite him out so we have a good relationship so when we negotiate that we're friendly.
That's smart.
And so I think he's had those. I know
That's
Joe
smart.
Burrow was there last year, I think, or Joe Burrow was there a couple years ago. And that was a story because it's always just like, oh, look, this the new quarterback who ends up there. But I think he has young quarterbacks there every once in a while.
I got you. And Brady's always there because Brady's the GOAT.
Brady goes wherever he wants.
Brady, true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, who's going to turn away Brady? Does Brady need an invitation to go to the parties? Like that? He can literally crash any party he wants, and they're going to let Brady in.
He walks up, you don't check him on the guest list. He just gets in.
No, you don't need to. It's Tom Brady. It's like, even if he's not on the guest list, I'm letting him in. Trust me, the person who's throwing the party won't mind Tom Brady wanting to come in and hang out at his party. There you go. You want to be that famous one day. So there you go. That is the that was the football game that broke out in the Hamptons at the all-white party. And my man, hey, C.J. Stroud won. It's good signs. I told you guys, C.J., this is the year I think C.J. Stroud could contend to win the MVP. And he's getting a lot of pub in the offseason. And we talked about how he's very outgoing. Very charismatic. Him and Michael Parsons have that podcast they do together, and he's not afraid to give his opinions. He could be one of those players in the media. Maybe he won the award for Media Darling. I forgot the name of the award, but voted on by the media as the player that the media likes the most. I'm telling you, C.J. Stroud, the MVP, not crazy. I believe he has the third best odds right now to win MVP. Not crazy, not out of the realm this year. All right, we come back. We'll discuss some NFL news, notes, and nuggets on the other side. There's always drama in Big D, especially when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll discuss that drama. We'll also get into some other NFL news and nuggets. Why does scoring first matter so much in football? Got some numbers to back that up. And we'll discuss the fertile recruiting regions, or the fertile football regions of this country. All right, the most fertile football regions. What states and what regions produce the most NFL players based on this new study per million people in those states? We'll get into that too on the other side. All that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers. Coming back on the Horn.